Welcome to Negotiating Happiness, the show that helps you find happiness, success, and balance in your work and life. I'm Adriana Fiestro, your host for this journey into entrepreneurship and personal growth. We're broadcasting live on 107.7 and 105.3 FM in New Orleans as part of the United Public Radio Network. We explore the latest strategies, insights, and stories from successful entrepreneurs and experts. From managing stress to building a thriving business, we've got you covered. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. This is Monday, March 11th, and I'm your host, Adriana, and we are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans, and you are listening to Negotiating Happiness. So please grab your coffee, grab your lunch, and join us as we are welcoming back Ariane. How are you, Ariane?
Yay, thank you for having me back. I'm very excited being here. I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
Amazing. Yeah, I'm good. I'm just trying to, you know, start another week, finish another week, and keep going like that until the summer. Here in Canada, we've had some okay days weather-wise, so it's kind of brought up my boosted my mood, and then all of a sudden we got hit with snow again, so that wasn't too exciting, if that makes sense. But other than that, we are good here. So remind everybody where you're broadcasting from.
I'm broadcasting from the Netherlands, in Europe. So yeah, it's in the evening. I already have had my Monday a kick off, and yeah.
Amazing. So thank you so much for making the time. And what time is it there right now?
6:08.
Okay, so it's about 6 p.m. All right. So you're probably getting ready for bed after, right?
Exactly.
Amazing.
Wow, this is a part of my health, right? Having a good night's sleep of like 8 hours. It's very important to juggle all the to-dos of an entrepreneur. So I value my sleep.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I feel so called out because I definitely don't get 8 hours. So this is, I guess, a learning moment for me. Well, I wanted to go in an introduction for you again for those who are just tuning in, and then we're going to dive right in. I'm really excited about today's topic, which is how childhood wounds impact us in business and leadership, and I'm really interested to see how, you know, what your take is as a professional, right? You are an embodied leadership coach, and I'm sure you've got a ton of experience with this. So let's just get right into it. So if you guys weren't around when Ariane was with us last time, she is a pioneering coach and facilitator in the field of embodied leadership. Her holistic approach, leading with head, heart, and sexual energy, enables conscious entrepreneurs to manage stress, anchor in trust, and use the wisdom of the body in business. She offers one-on-one online support and in-person retreats to connect more to flow and intuition in business. She's got quite a few exciting projects on the go, including a select Telegram group that creates a learning community, and also an online summit. I will have links for everybody. If you guys want to, send in questions in the chat, we'd be happy to answer them as well. I'll send everybody a reminder in the comments that we are live and taking comments, questions, and so on and so forth. So tell us a bit about, how do you approach this, or how do you, when you work one-on-one with clients, how do you figure out that this is what, you know, is impacting the business, the, you know, childhood wounds, and what's your experience with that right off the bat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that beautiful question. Usually in the intake, when people come to me, this is because they're feeling stuck, they're struggling with some sort of pattern, and they keep on bouncing back all the time, and this manifests as in usually limiting their ability to be really successful or really wanting to be where they are, or like feeling very confident in the way what they're bringing forth. So in the first phase, when I work one-on-one with my clients, is about like really becoming aware of what are the patterns and what are the triggers of those patterns that come up that are giving this feeling of being stuck or feeling of like capping oneself or sabotaging oneself, right? In the way how we are leading ourselves, our businesses, and the people around us. And usually it manifests always in how childhood wounds particular manifest, is like there is always like some the same narrative around it. It is, you find yourself usually in a lot of similar situations. This can be that you attract this, let's say, like this employee, and it's always the same type of employee, and it always comes to some sort of like dynamic that keeps on repeating and showing itself. Or it can also manifest as in feeling like one day I'm all into my business and the other day I'm like, I don't want to look at it, this kind of like in and out relationship with business. So we're looking into what is the relationship that I have with my business, with the people in my business, or with the people that are connected to my business. And for this, it becomes very clear the patterns that are acting up. And then we're going deeper into really looking behind those patterns, deeper into what is the imprint that is happening. And I would say most of the things that are surfacing has some imprint in our childhood of a feeling of not good enough or not worthy enough. And this, of course, manifests in business. It can be manifesting. One of my clients recently, this was very interesting, she has had a really hard time to really hold her prices. So she's been always giving a discount, even though nobody has asked her for a discount. She was always like giving a discount. And of course, this can be a strategy in itself. But for her, it was not I raise my price so high, I'm discounting it for everybody. It was more rooted in her feeling not fully worthy of receiving the price that she's asking for. So we were going back into, okay, what has happened in her childhood? Where was this imprint? And how can she shift that imprint? How can she shift the pattern so she can stop sabotaging herself and stop not feeling enough for the price that she's asking? Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting that you say that, because I've been in that situation where I felt like I needed to give people discounts in my services, even though, you know, logically thinking about it, I've got the experience, I've got the, you know, the education to back it up, I've got everything going for me, and I still at some point felt like, oh no, maybe this is too much, even though they've obviously agreed to pay whatever that price was. That is so funny. I would have never thought to associate it with something like a, you know, a childhood wound. So for people like me that are sometimes aware of this, what would you recommend that people do to recognize these patterns? Like, how do you even recognize that you need help? You know, what would you say?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think journaling is a wonderful tool to add, as in really journaling around things that, I mean, it's not a problem if it doesn't bother you, right? If you're okay with it, then it's not a problem. But usually these things, they're rising because there's a part of you that knows that this is not okay. Also with you, I mean, you've grown up in that, but you recognize like, okay, when I hear you saying like, okay, you've been doing that and even it was irrational. So there's already a judgment of like, okay, it was irrational. So the moment when there's like some sort of inner conflict around some behavior, this is a good indication that there's something deeper underneath it that we can shift that we can shift around it. So journaling for sure is a beautiful tool that can be installed to see like, okay, for example, I have this practice that where it's about, because these things, they're more like in the subconscious, right? So it's not like super for, not for everybody is conscious. So the good practices work could be like, okay, I give myself 2 minutes and I write down on a piece of paper, success is, and then I keep on writing as many things as I can, what success is. Success is, success is, success is, success is. So at 2 minutes, and I keep on writing, 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 and for this I can hijack my conscious mind, even though if my like I don't know anymore, keep on writing, success is, because there's something more coming up in that practice. And then I go
Interesting.
in a second round and I say like, okay, if I think of myself as successful, I this dot dot dot, what is coming up? And then you write down what is coming up. Do you think about yourself as successful? And then, like, what if you think of yourself, what is coming up? So you keep on writing around that 2 minutes. And I think it's very important when we want to hijack our subconscious mind that we stick to a time and we stick to like a repetition, some sort of repetition. So this is how we can go like deeper. And if we go fast, we can go deeper into what comes up behind that. And then I can have a look and I can see, and they're like, okay, interesting. I didn't know that there's a part of me who feels like success is evil, for example. You know, like when I write this, and then I can be like, okay, whatever comes up for somebody, like when I did it the first time for myself, I wrote that success is something only for men. And I was like, fuck, where's this coming from? You know? It really hit me hard because this was never an imprint, but somewhere it was in my system. Otherwise, I would have not written it down, right? So I could go deeper into dismantling why I believe that, and also like having this very strong patriarchal view on it. So it was a good healing opportunity for me to shift my relationship to success.
That was very interesting that you say that, because sometimes when I think about success, I only associate it with like the corporate world, and I've slowly started not liking the corporate world. So that's very funny that you say that. It's very interesting. I mean, it always comes down to, taking the time, doing reflections, doing an exercise that might help you figure out, is there something else there? And I always say this because to me, I mean, to I'm not a professional, so I tend to categorize things however my brain understands them. So to me, it sounds like everybody just needs therapy, right? Like everybody just needs some form of therapy where they're allowed to reflect. And not necessarily in the traditional way, because to me, this is also therapy, like doing the work, doing the exercises, doing, having a moment of silence just to sit in your thoughts is also to me therapy, because I find that nobody has that anymore. Because when you have that moment of silence, you turn on the TV. When you have that moment of silence, you go and, I don't know, make a snack, or you go and do some laundry. That's not a moment of silence. That's not a moment of sitting in your own thoughts. And it's funny because when I think of silence, I think of the dark as well. So I like to sit it sometimes, just turn the light off and just sit in your thoughts, right? And I think that could be really helpful, but I never thought of relating that to, I mean, you always hear about it, right? Your childhood trauma and everything, but I never thought how that could impact things, so specifically. Do you have any specific examples for us, of how that impacts?
I have some and many. In the school of somatic experiencing from Peter Levine, its trauma is understood as a dysregulation of the nervous system. So we go into trauma responses throughout the day where our nervous system is dysregulated. And as you said, for all this distraction that we're having in our modern times, our nervous system is much more easier dysregulated than it was before, because we had times of silence, we had times of being in nature. There was not an availability and connectedness 24/7 and Instagram and the blue screen and all of that, right? So many people, they keep on putting so much into their cup that the cap is not even, it's not only full, it's overspilling, which creates some sort of dysregulation in the nervous system. The dysregulation in the nervous system can either be through an overwhelm of information, but it can also result from a stored memory that is in the body from a childhood. So, like, our body stores all our experiences because, like, our body goes with us through life. So, when there is something traumatic, as in there is too much too fast happening to me, and I don't have the possibility to process this, what is happening. So, it does not have to be like many people think of, like, a trauma as in something really horrible, like serving in war or having like a really heavy violation or abuse. But it can, there is now a differentiation between big T trauma and little T trauma, whereas big T trauma is more heavy and little T trauma is less heavy. Yet it is something that happened to us where we didn't have the chance to fully process what has happened to us. So it's stored in our system, and then this can come up and dysregulates us. So how does this manifest in business? This can manifest as in me feeling overwhelmed by my to-do list. The to-do list is so long, and I sit there and I'm like getting really anxious, like my belly is cramping, I get sweaty, and the result would be procrastination. So I do something that is maybe least prioritized, and it's like not so important, or I keep on doing things that are more simple. I don't want to do like really important things because they're feeling, it feels too much in my system. And this is how childhood wounds can come up. This dysregulation can come up. So this is one thing, overwhelm of to-do lists, overwhelm of important conversations. So I keep on not having them. I keep on pushing them back, or I try to avoid them in one way or the other. And another way how this can manifest is because we're kind of constantly frying our nervous system, we're running more in survival mode than in thriving mode. And in survival mode, we're having very limited ability to our thoughts. So in business, what does this mean when I'm all the time surviving is that I might not be able to think very much strategic. I might make more my decision making more impulsive than really like an entrepreneur with like risks and assessments and all of these things. So this is another way how these woundings from our past, from our childhood, can come into play, as in having only a limited perspective. Which also results, of course, in a limitation of our creativity. So, like, people usually have also the tendency to feel very caged when they're when this comes up. And another thing that I see a lot in my clients, how this manifests, is that people with trauma, already said, around this worthiness. Like really owning your price, like really feeling worthy. And on top of that, having very loose boundaries. So it's this tendency, I want to please my client. I want to make it like over deliver. So there is like always a little bit of like some sort of pleasing, of people pleasing attached to it. And this is how it comes up, that I'm over delivering, that I'm like going the extra mile, but for everybody. And then I feel overwhelmed because I keep on over delivering and I'm underpaid. So, and then all of it comes into place, right? So like really having clear and strong boundaries is
Yeah.
another one. And I think I could go on a little bit more, but I stop here for now.
That's okay. I think that I just want to go back to the part where you talked about how we spend more time in survival mode rather than thriving. I relate that to when you're tired. And a lot of people don't realize how much less efficient your brain is when you're tired. Like, yes, it makes sense, but when you're so used to doing it every day, you just say, I'm fine. I can live off of 6 hours a week, a night. And I'm talking about myself here. You know, I am the number one culprit for this. And I related to that. They're so used to being in survival mode that they don't have anything to compare it to. They don't have the thriving mode to compare it to say, oh, wow, you know, I'm really not making the best decisions. I really can't strategize. I really can't do this to the best of my abilities because I'm whether sleep, whether it's, you know, other sources, or you just don't have the capability of understanding that, yep, I am, you know, operating from a place of fear, or a, you know, because that's what it ultimately is, right? It's a place of fear that you're not pleasing your clients, you're not pleasing your, I don't know, colleagues, bosses, your worker, you know, your employees, your coworkers, whatever that may be. So it's hard for people to notice those patterns like you were talking about because they don't have anything else to compare it to. So this is why it's really important to carve out time to do some self-reflection, or why I say this, even in my line of work, it's important to have those auditing tools of how is your business doing? You are part of that business, so really you should be auditing it as a whole, right? Especially when you are the head of operations, right? So that's very interesting. And when you talked about boundaries, that's such a true thing, and I find myself doing that too, where, you know, I'll answer on the weekends and I'll give clients my personal number and they will reach me directly, whether it's 6 p.m. or 10 p.m. So that's definitely something that I feel like every entrepreneur struggles with. What about somebody's ability to recognize it? So let's say you're at that stage, right? So you've recognized that there's something wrong and this could go further into your, you know, childhood wounds. What would you suggest you start with? Maybe somebody's not super open to doing either therapy or any kind of coaching. How would you suggest they start dealing with the problem, I mean?
Well, as I said before, like our navigation tool is the body, right? So starting with bringing the body into business as a business asset and really starting to connect to the body, because many times people, they don't have they really like, why should I connect with my body in business? Yeah, because of that, right? To really feel in my body, where like what is happening, like really bringing the body on board, because trauma comes, or these patterns, these programs, the childhood wounds and their impact on our way how we're doing business strongly resides from our body. As I said, this is a, like emotions that want to be released. So bringing the body on board, if you don't want to go to therapy, if you don't want to go to coaching, like make sure that there is a life work balance, because this is also something that is very familiar for people with strong with childhood wounds, that there is some sort of overachieving. So mostly there was a little too little gratification and validation from the parents in the childhood, and then the work becomes like, yeah, now I'm gonna prove it. Now I'm gonna get the validation that I have been missing. And there is this sort of overachieving, this sort of like always being on, always being in my business, very hard time to get out of that. So starting with having like really times of business, on business, and times of off business, being more disciplined with the work-life balance, and being honest to yourself, okay, Am I business on a Saturday? Am I business 7 days a week? And do I have to be business 7 days a week? Or is this me not willing to be really with myself? Do I feel, I mean, it's brutally sad, but do I feel worthless without being on in my business? And underneath, like, there is an imprint, right? That there's a part in myself that believes that, and this is not conscious, but seeing, like, okay, what is my relationship to my business? Can I, is my business an entity on itself, or is my personal well-being totally dependent on my, on the well-being of my business? So things like that, to start investigating with work-life balance, relationship to business, to, yeah, to get going, to get started. And then the aha moments come in, and then the awareness comes in. But also, I want to say that awareness is very important in that journey, but it's only half of the equation. So also we need to bring in the body, the embodiment, to shift things. Because many times, I don't know, maybe also you know that, many times you're very aware of what is happening, and you see yourself doing the same thing over and over and over, and it doesn't help you that you know that you do it, and that it's not good for you, right? So it's like, okay, awareness is half of the medicine, but the other half is to really, like, see, okay, how can I shift this in my body? How can I release this in my body? And this is where then the coaching and the embodiment tools come in.
It's very important to, not only when you recognize it, you actually have to, have a plan to fix it, but also implement it. Because how many of us have tried things and then have given up after, one or two times? It takes consistency. This is where I think coaching comes in really handy, because somebody's there to hold you accountable. And a lot of the times that's what you're actually paying for, because even if if you're like me, sometimes you go overboard and you start doing all this research, so you gain all this knowledge, but you don't have somebody there to guide you, and you don't have somebody there to keep you accountable. So I definitely think that this is one of the biggest, I guess, benefits of coaching. It's not only the knowledge, right? Because, like you said, we're always connected. Sometimes we have access to that knowledge. And we don't have access to the experience of the coach, but we have access to the knowledge, at least. But the most important part, is that they're there to support, right? That's what you're, that's where you get really get a lot of value, is like the support, the guidance, the accountability, the seeing it through and actually pointing out results. Because sometimes we're really good at being harsh, right? And being saying and saying, instead of, instead of 10 steps ahead, I was only two. Right, but then your coach will sit there and say, yeah, but yesterday you were two behind, right? So still pointing out progress is so important to keep somebody motivated, and sometimes we're too into our own head to see it, right? So
Absolutely, yeah.
before we go on, I just wanted to do a quick station intro, since we are just over halfway here. So for those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Negotiating Happiness, and we are live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. And just a quick reminder, if you guys want to watch some of our shows on TV, go ahead on Roku TV and search us up. I am here today with Ariane. She has come back to us, and we are super grateful. And today we are talking about how childhood wounds impact business and leadership. So if you guys are just tuning in, or want to go back and listen, we will be on all of our archives, and we are streaming on all popular platforms as well. So we are here. I wanted to talk to me a bit about your new project, because I was super excited to hear about this. So all I know is that it's an online summit. I will post the link in the comments for everybody, but it's also swiping across the screen here. So what is betterrelationsmethod.com?
Wonderful. Thank you for bringing that up. Well, this online summit is mainly about how trauma impacts our ability to relate. So it's relating to humans, relating to friends, relating to peers, relating intimately as well. So in this summit, I have gathered 15 experts in the field of relationship, trauma, tantra, and conscious sexuality. And I asked them, why is it so hard in our modern time to have really the healthy and fulfilling relationships that we are so craving and desiring? And what does it need in order to get to these relationships? And again, we're talking about how our imprints, our patterns, our wounds are impacting us in the way how we're relating. And it doesn't matter if it's relating to business or if it's relating to money or if it's relating to your intimate partner, there is always some sort of repetition that indicates that there is some unfinished business, like something that has happened to you in your childhood that wants to be finished, but it's keep on coming up and keeps on sabotaging us and hijacking us in the way how we are relating, in the way, in our capacity of holding love, in our capacity of holding success, in our capacity of holding power and all of that. So this summit is, the intention is to normalize this conversation and bring more nervous system dysregulation and little t trauma, like this awareness into people, because through this awareness, it can shift so much how we are actually relating to everything that is ourselves and also everything that is around us. Through knowing, as you said before, like, what if people don't know? This is the place to get this information, to educate yourself and to become aware of like how our childhood imprints can impact us in the way how we're relating. So yeah, I'm very excited. I have had amazing conversations in throughout the last 2 months. There's gonna be a live opening and a live closing circle that I will be guiding, where we go deeper into tools that can help to regulate that nervous system and to find to a space of like deep relaxation, where we can also access our pleasure capacity fully and bring that capacity also into the way how we are doing business. So yeah.
I just for anybody listening, I just popped up the website here on the screen. It sounds really exciting, and it's the 19th to the 26th of March, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the 19th to the 26th of March. It's for free. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm scrolling down here, and you have your lineup up here, which is super exciting. So if anybody wants to check out who will be speaking, all lineup is posted. It seems like you've got an array of people. There's so many. That's amazing.
We have 15 speakers. Sorry.
Yeah, and you can sign up here on the main page, correct?
Exactly.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I hope that everybody signs on. I will post it on my socials as well. Thank you for bringing this to us.
Thank you.
Is super exciting, and how, what are your, as an entrepreneur yourself, what are your hopes for this summit? What are you hoping that people leave with, or even from an entrepreneurship perspective, not only, you know, like a coach perspective, because I mean, this is a big deal. And I want people to understand that pulling all of this together and getting 15 experts, it's a big deal. So congrats, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, I've been working hard the last month, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, for me, I have been traumatized. I have had multiple things that have happened to me, little t trauma, I would say. For me personally, this education has helped me so much in understanding myself better and shifting the way how I relate, not only in my intimate relationships, but also in the way how I'm relating to my business. In my first years of business, I was so triggered by my business that I wanted to leave it every week. I was like, I'm not gonna do that. I was so scared of being visible that I almost had like short breath and like shaky hands when I would post something. And then I would really also a lot like being into gratification of likes. If people would not like my posts, this is my marketing tool, I would feel like I'm rejected from the market, which is very ridiculous. But there was a part of myself that has wanted to have this validation from the outside, right? So I've done all my work, I've educated myself, and I brought this together for other people to educate themselves so they can have the healthy, fulfilling relationships they desire in their life. Because I truly believe that this is what's needed right now in our society, in our world, to really start tuning in and working on ourselves and shifting our reality from that perspective, because then everything else becomes secondary, right? And we can be more fulfilled, happy, and have the life that we desire. Because even here in our Western societies, so many people live in abundance and they cannot see it, right? So it's like, okay, how can I be able to shift that and live from a place of fullness instead of a place of neediness in no matter what relationship I'm in? So this is like my call, my desire, my mission to bring this word out to the world. And of course, I'm also using it as a platform for myself to launch a program afterwards. So from an entrepreneurial perspective, yes, I do it because I want to spread the word. But yes, I also do it because there's this method, the Better Relations method, that I work with also in my practices. And I'm gonna launch the Better Relations method training for coaches, therapists, healers who want to bring in this modality and help their clients in shifting their way, how they are impacted by their childhood wounds and patterns and trauma.
So important, because I always find that, I'm just thinking of the little psychology that I know. And, you know, you learn about all of the basics, you learn about, you know, the famous names, all the, you know, the people that have pioneered the industry. I'm just comparing it to this, but obviously it's a little bit different. But if it weren't for people like you who are taking, you know, the research, the studies, but also the experience and your environment, there wouldn't be any new methods, there wouldn't be any new ways of thinking, there wouldn't be any new paths that, you know, were carved out. So it's really important to do that. It's really important to spread the word, but also to have this kind of connection with people and all of these experts, because I'm sure they all bring something to the table, right? And if we didn't have that, I think we would be stuck. We would be stuck, you know, 60, 70, 100 years ago, where doing the things that we thought were helpful, but while they're living in a completely different environment than we are today, right? Like, we have other factors that are impacting our lives. So I think it's very important to get these kinds of messages out, to be like, come and, you know, be a part of this, have these discussions, be open-minded, take what you need from it, and, you know, ask the questions, the how, the why, the where, the when, and how, right? So this is super important. Everybody should at some point go through these kinds of development tools, which I call them development tools, because give me an example of one person who doesn't have any relationships. And that's pretty impossible, right? Because relationships can be anything. So I mean, I urge everybody. So 19th to the 26th of March, sign up on the website. I have already posted the link there. You guys will also find the link in the description if you are listening to this later. They're already all there. And if you want to check out Arianne on Instagram, if that's kind of an easier platform for you guys, it's at Arianne Lalakea. If that's Lalakea. And I am posting it right across the screen right here too, if you guys want to follow her. It's really so interesting ever since I've, started this platform. This is my version of my platform, right? Through the network. I've just met so many cool and interesting people that all kind of we're all kind of working towards the same goal. We're just in different industries, right? And we're all kind of defining success in our own ways. So it's really, really interesting to see that. Tell us a little bit about your Telegram group, because I think during our last show we didn't really cover much of it.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up also. I have a little Telegram group that is also for free. It's called the Somatic CEO. And I give tools and practices for self-reflection, for like really embodiment, some small things every now and then into it with the invitation for everybody there to to use this as a little bit of an input for starting the process in increasing our capacity, because at the end, this is what it comes down to, right? All the work that I'm doing, it's about increasing your capacity, the capacity of love, the capacity of success, the capacity of power, and as you said, so beautiful, also the capacity to define what love, success, and power means for me. I think this is something very beautiful that is accessible for us in our times now, that we have this freedom to really define that in our own terms and are not obliged to follow some certain structures, or even as women, worse, not even having the possibility to be entrepreneurs, right? So like really, really beautiful to have this and to use this and to really own that power and step into self-responsibility, and with this into self-creation and of designing the life that we're wanting, because life is happening through us and not to us. So, I don't know, for some reason I cannot hear you anymore. Is it only me?
No.
Oh yeah, now you're back.
There you go. I said that's a really interesting statement to make, that life is happening through us, not to us. I feel like a lot of people don't really understand that, or they think they do. We have a lot more control than we think we have. And I think it starts right down to the way you think, right? Or the way you, because you can limit yourself right from the beginning. And the beginning is like the beginning of a thought. So that's very, very interesting. This is why it's so important to have connections with people that are like-minded and that want to have these discussions. Because how many times in your day do you sit there and, start pondering life? Or how many people do you have in your life that you can do that with? Probably not very many, right? But yet we talk about chores and work and groceries and, driving here, driving there, and getting the kids to soccer and doing this and doing that, right? We have time for everything else that's keeping us kind of,
Busy.
Stuck and busy, but we don't have time to ponder the rest of the things. Okay, so and I'm not knocking it, because I am in that too, right? I am in the whole parent mode and, adult mode and business and work and whatever else. But I think being intentional about time means that you also get to make time to have access to these kinds of development tools, right? Talk to people about what does that mean to you, and what will that spark? Well, I don't know, in the last little while I kind of realized I don't want to work for the rest of my life. I don't want to, like, how can I create my life in a way that will support what I want, right? And I know that, I understand that some people don't have the options that I do, right? But to a certain extent and capacity, everybody has the option to think positively, or not just think positively, because that's been overused, but to not limit yourself in your thoughts, right? Not to limit yourself in your thoughts and your actions so that you can change something about your life. So we're not talking about privilege. I understand. We have that. We have privilege, and I recognize it. And it's, you know, and the other part is I also worked blood, sweat, and tears. Okay. That's all I have to say. Blood, sweat, and tears. But I don't want to do blood, sweat, and tears for the rest of my life. So this is where, you know, you start kind of framing your thought process around what you do want, and you put the worries aside for a minute and say, okay, how could that work? How can I make that work? What kind of support do I need? And then if you don't have ideas, this is why a group like that would be super beneficial, because you are open to everybody else's perspectives. And like you said, we're all connected. We're we have access to all this information, and it's all about perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody else could be in the same position as you and doing things very differently, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, right? As you said, I think we went deeper into that last time. How can I bring in more this feminine energy, more like my heart and the energy also from my life force energy into the way how I do business, and through this feel more vital at the end of the day, feel more connected, feel more creative, feel more trusting, and all of these things, they come from the body. And from little shifts, I think that many people, they think like, oh my God, this is so out there. And as you said, they project like, well, they have this privilege being in the position, but no, also me. I mean, we are in the system, right? So yeah. I'm part of the system. I'm not out of it. I also have my responsibilities and all of that. But it's like, okay, one simple breath. Like if I keep on breathing more consciously, deeply, if I keep on shaking my body every now and then, this already shifts a lot. It doesn't need major, tremendous changes. And in the Telegram group, this is where I give these little biohacks that can be implemented very easily, that have a huge impact in the way how we feel and lead and hold ourselves. And from also for this, it gives new perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I'm super excited to dive in. I'm going to try and make some parts of your summit there, because I'm interested in hearing, you know, you and like some of your experts talk. So hopefully I can fit that in my schedule. I'm your like typical, you know, entrepreneur that is like overwhelmed and sleep deprived and everything, but I am aware. So we've got the first part down. We gotta do the other parts, right? So I'm gonna try and fit it into the schedule. But it's crazy how, you know, we're already almost done the first quarter of 2024. Like, where did the time go? Felt like January was 82 years long, but then after that, everything just came so fast. So I'm gonna try and fit it into the schedule. I do try and carve out time. Like usually Mondays are a little bit more, you know, I lean towards my business rather than my client work. So a lot of the times I'll try and, I'll try and sit down to, you know, figure out, okay, what am I doing next? Like, do I take a call, or do I network with somebody, or do I, you know, check out a summit or anything like that? So highly recommend that people carve out, you know, make it a thing in your schedule, right? Implement it and then follow it. I'm not always good at following it. Sometimes client work does come up because of emergencies, but typically speaking, Mondays are kind of like for my business and for me. So, and for the show, right? That's largely why I picked Monday as well, because it allows me to think and to talk to people like you and to find people like you that kind of, you know, all work around the same line. I do like to bring in guests that, you know, have not similar views, because we don't go into views or anything like that, but similar approaches to business, which tend to be very positive and open and not very like corporate or competitive, or, you know, they're successful because they're able to bring about change in a in
Mm-hmm.
you know in a positive and open way, and they're open with other entrepreneurs. I think that's really, really important. So I really appreciate you coming on again and giving us some more information, and hopefully that's gotten people thinking about maybe, maybe I've been struggling because there's something in there that was fundamentally wrong, or that has left an imprint on me from a really long time ago, right? And from my own experience, you might not necessarily know that that's what happened. You might not necessarily remember. So.
Exactly. And I also want to add here that to take off a little bit this idea that I have to know what happened, because in the end, it doesn't really matter what happened. What matters is how it's impacting you in the here and now, and how you can shift that impact,
Right.
right? So I'm not going into okay, we're figuring out and we're gonna pin it down and we blame the father or the mother, because they also did their best as they could, right? So it's about really okay, it doesn't really matter what happened, it matters how we move on from here.
Totally. I agree. And sometimes it's not the mother and the father, right? It could be somebody else in your life, or some sort of, experience that you had gone through that you were not necessarily ready for, right? So
Exactly.
that could be it too. But it's very interesting. And I do think that I'm sure there's science behind this, and I'm sure I've read it before, but writing things down, not typing them, not like actually sitting down and writing things out, somehow wires the brain differently than us sitting at a computer and typing it out. So look it up. I'm sure I can't quote you where I read it from, but it is very different than sitting and typing things out. So it's just like journaling. Why journaling is really effective for certain people, because of that exact same thing. They sit down, they write things, and you're just within your
There's a
thoughts, right?
many story, like many scientific foundation
Studies.
around the power and studies around the power of like journaling. Jon Kabat-Zinn, for example, is using it a lot in his teachings. Also, there is a woman called Julia Cameron who is doing this thing called morning pages, where you sit down every morning for the first 10 minutes and you just write down whatever comes to your mind. Also, a way to really get into a little bit the subconscious that is in the end ruling our way, how we are behaving.
No, it's really great. Well, we've come to the end of another show, which always flies by when we have such interesting conversations. So thank you again for coming, and thank you for everybody that was listening. I did see a couple highs and hellos on Instagram. It's funny how this platform works. Instagram has to be kind of separate in our lives than the rest of the platforms. But I did see you guys. Thank you for tuning in. And this will be available on all of our archives. I will post some SoundCloud links later once it's up. And I will also remind everybody of the previous episode. I think it was episode 28 with Ariane as well, if you're interested in learning more about her journey. And thank you so much to the platform,
Thank you.
to the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network for making this available to us. And join me next week. We've got another guest and lots more information. And Ariane, you need to come back in the summer. Tell us how the summit went and let us know about any other projects that are upcoming for you.
Thank you. My pleasure to come back and thank you for the day. I really appreciate being here.
I appreciate you so much. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, you too.